Today, my dear faithful, is the Feast of the North American Martyrs, and it is also the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. And the epistle is taken from the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, I ought to have been commended by you, for I have no way come short of them that are above measure apostles, although I be nothing. Yet the signs of my apostleship have been wrought on you in all patience, in signs, in wonders, and mighty deeds. For what is there that you have had less than the other churches, but that I myself was not burdensome to you? Pardon me this injury. Behold, now the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome unto you. For I seek not the things that are yours, but you. For neither ought the children to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. But I most gladly will spend and be spent myself for your souls, although loving you more, I be loved less. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 6. At that time, Jesus, coming down from the mountain, stood in a plain place, and the company of his disciples, and a very great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, and the seacoast both of Tyre and Sidon, who were come to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the multitude sought to touch him, for virtue went out from him, and healed all. And he, lifting up his eyes on his disciples, said, Blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed shall you be when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Be glad in that day, and rejoice, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Blessed shall you be when men shall hate you, reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the year 1642, there was a group of canoes that were being paddled down the St. Lawrence River, filled with about 40 Hurons and 5 Frenchmen. These men were on their journey from a Dutch trading post to their home amongst the Hurons. Two of the Frenchmen were Jesuits, one a priest and the other a lay brother. The first day they paddled more than 30 miles. Soon after dawn of the second day, the keen-eyed Huron scouts discovered disquieting signs that the hostile Iroquois Indians were near at hand. An instant later, the Iroquois warriors, smeared with red war paint, ambushed and attacked the Huron group as well as the Frenchmen. It was the Mohawks, the most ferocious of the Iroquois tribes. As arrows flew, the Jesuit lay brother, René Goupil, was hit. The other three French laymen had disappeared, and Father Isaac Jogues found himself alone behind tall reeds on the riverbank. He was safe for the moment, and he could actually slip away. But as he would later write, the idea of fleeing appalled me. Could I possibly desert my poor Hurons, who would be taken captive, and my fellow Frenchmen, without giving them the aid that the Church of my God had entrusted to me? Father Jogues walked from his hiding place, and he gave himself up to the Iroquois. At once, the Mohawks surrounded Father Jogues. They beat him and dragged him to dry land. The Indians immediately began tearing out his fingernails one by one. And then they bit the priest's fingers through to the bone. Only fear of a counterattack interrupted this horrific scene. The Mohawks threw their prisoners into the canoes and they pushed off. All the while, Father Jogues was calmly praying. Even as he faced death, was this the hour of his martyrdom? He thought to himself. No, in fact, it was only the beginning of a protracted, excruciating martyrdom. The life of the unfortunate prisoners during the days that followed can scarcely be described. For months, Father Jogues was the slave of the Iroquois. They tormented him in various ways whenever they wished. When their crops or their hunting did not go well, they superstitiously blamed the Black Robe, as they called the Jesuits because of their cassocks. And of course, they made him suffer for it. He was thus subject to every discomfort. Besides the heat of summer, the cold of winter, he suffered from the swarming insects and flies, which were attracted by the food, as well as the lack of hygiene of the Indians. There were the torments of smell, of smoke stinging the eyes, as well as the moral trials resulting from the pagan Iroquois, who committed every sin and cruelty, even cannibalism. This dismal captivity lasted for months until Dutch traders, being moved with compassion, made efforts to free Father Jogues. After praying to see whether it was God's will that he escape, Father Jogues consented to their plan and was hidden in the hull of a ship, which would later sail down the Hudson and set off for Europe. Father Jogues was safe in France finally, but he soon asked if he would be permitted to return to his beloved Indians, as he called them. Those souls he longed to save, that they too would one day be baptized and become children of God. This permission was soon granted. However, after his return, he was again captured by those same Mohawks and again subjected to continuous and horrendous tortures. Finally, Father Jogues gave his life when one day the Mohawks invited him to a feast, only to tomahawk him upon his arrival. And thus we have now Saint Isaac Jogues, one of our own beloved North American martyrs, martyrs who shed their blood here in our own New York State. How was Saint Isaac Jogues, my dear faithful, able to withstand these torments, to suffer these pains, and to bear these afflictions? It was the virtue of fortitude. Fortitude is one of the cardinal virtues, that is, one of the four virtues upon which all the others hinge. It is fortitude which enables us to bear whatever difficulty, whatever hardship we may encounter in the fulfillment of our duty. St. Thomas teaches that it is fortitude that strengthens the soldier in war, helps a man practice religion in the face of derision and persecution, and enables a person to care for the sick in spite of the risk of deadly infection. Why is this virtue so important? We need fortitude in order to meet adversity well. In this life, we will have adversity, difficulties, annoyances, and at times, perhaps even heavy crosses. Because of our fallen human nature, our passions or our emotions are disordered. When we meet conflict, our passions of fear or audacity will be stirred. Fear tells us to run from the conflict, while audacity moves us to run into the conflict without thinking it through or weighing the consequences. The virtue of fortitude regulates these passions of fear and audacity. It strikes the virtuous balance between the two. It strengthens us not to flee from conflict, composes us not to lash out against it, and it makes us peacefully withstand and bear whatever comes our way. St. Thomas Aquinas says the principal act of fortitude is to stand firm and bear struggles, oppositions, privations, and persecutions with a virile spirit. Thus, with grace, we can hold our ground when these trials come. When we read of what St. Isaac Jogues or any of the North American martyrs went through, we see this virtue in action. These men seem to have superhuman strength to sustain the tortures that they bore. And they did have a superhuman strength, for their strength was supernatural. It was the result of grace earned by prayer and their efforts to practice virtue. When their nails were torn out, or they were stabbed with knives, even when they were beaten, ridiculed, and contradicted in every way, they did not give to anger. Never were they bitter. Never were they despairing in the face of all of this. The good have always been, always are, and always will be persecuted to one extent or another, my dear faithful. We ought not to be surprised at this, for our Lord said, "If the world hates you, know ye that it hath hated me before you. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." God allows this that we may make up for our sins and also to help us grow in virtue and to merit a higher place in heaven. Our Lord explained this in his Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is what some scripture commentators call our Lord's inaugural address. It was given early in our Lord's public life, and a part of this Sermon on the Mount is contained in today's Gospel, the part including the Beatitudes. Some of the Beatitudes describe the virtue of fortitude. For example, when our Lord tells us, "Blessed shall you be when men shall hate you, reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake." What our Lord is telling us is that when we are despised, ridiculed, or persecuted for Christ's sake, and we suffer it gladly for Him, we will be blessed for it. Blessed as the blessed in heaven, blessed with the favor and grace of God. How encouraging it is today, especially when we do have a persecution, to live morally, to go to church, perhaps at some distance, to live a truly Catholic life, we sometimes must go through even great struggles. Adversity meets us at every turn. Some are losing their jobs. We don't know anymore what to believe on the news. While we try only to live a moral life and make a living, there is pressure which makes life difficult and sometimes seemingly impossible. Therefore, my dear faithful, we must have the virtue of fortitude. And by means of this virtue, we can bear our hardships and encounter difficulties with true courage, patience, and meekness, and without giving into anger, discouragement, or bitterness. To grow in this virtue of fortitude, then, first pray every day for this necessary virtue. For it is a gift from God, and the way to have it is to ask for God's grace through prayer. Second, strive to practice this virtue. Practice it by striving to meet adversity with patience, meekness, and even with good cheer. Renew your efforts each day, and do not be discouraged when you fail. St. Isaac Jogues was persecuted and tortured for months. He eventually escaped to France, but the first thing on his mind was to ask permission to return again to his place of persecution, to go back to those same Indians in America who bit off his fingers. He did go back, and he withstood all his sufferings with such fortitude. Let us then imitate St. Isaac Jogues. Let us earn our crown by courageously facing our persecutions. Though men shall hate us, reproach us, and call us evil for the Son of Man's sake, if we bear these with fortitude, we shall be blessed both here in this life and in the next. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.